The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rabinowitz.
We continue Be'ezer Hashem, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Klal Chavtes, the halachis of midos, of character traits that one ought to adopt. And we are discussing the importance of reproof, the importance of admonishing and rebuking a fellow Jew who is acting inappropriately and doing it in a kind, gentle, and understanding way. And that if one refrains from getting involved, he is culpable and will be held accountable for the Avera as well, for he could have prevented it and could have done something about it. Says the Kitzur in Os Tezayim, Bamedvar Mamurim, when was this said that one must rebuke and try to prevent further sin? When he imagines and he's under the impression that the wrongdoer will listen and accept the tochacha, the reproof. However, if the mochiach knows that the person will not be receptive to his musar, asur lehochicho, he should not offer a rebuke. Now, this is only if he is certain that his rebuke will not be accepted. If he has any doubts, or if there's any possibility that the wrongdoer will listen to what he has to say, then he needs to protest, even when it comes to an Issa D'Rabbanan, writes the Mishnah Brura. This din that one should not be mochiach when he's not going to be heard is mentioned in a Gemara in Yevamis. The Amar Rabbi Ilo Mishum Rab Lazar Rab Shimon, continues the Kitzur, according to the Gemara, Kashem Shemitzval Adam Lo Medav Anishma, just as it is incumbent upon one to convey something that will be heard, will be accepted, Kach Mitzval Adam Shalom Lo Medav Shein Anishma. Likewise, it is just as much of a mitzvah for one to hold back something which will not be accepted. As a matter of fact, it would be a chil Hashem. It would add a fuel to the fire. It would add to the avera if one not only does the avera but refuses to accept tochacha about it. So he'd be better off just not saying anything. Rabbi Abba Omer Chova. Not only is it a mitzvah, is it praiseworthy and the right thing for one not to say something that won't be accepted, he's obligated to hold back. Shenemar al tochach letz penisnaecho, don't reprove a joker, a person who is not serious, for he will hate you. Rather, hoichach lechacham miyavecha, save your reproof for a wise man. A wise man knows when to listen and when to accept the chacham. This iser of sharing tochacha when it won't be heard is not universal. The Rama in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Siman Tav Reish Ches, tells us a very basic klal that this idea is limited to an iser that, although it may be of Torah origin, maybe Doraisa, is still not explicit in the Torah. When it comes to that type of iser, one should not offer tzachacha which won't be accepted. But if there's an iser that's mefurish in the Torah, it's an explicit iser in the Torah, and it's blatantly being violated, then one has to protest. If there's no danger involved, one must protest tzachiyav tzachacha when he sees Torah being openly violated, and he needs to get involved, even though he knows that his words will not make any difference to the wrongdoer. There is a difference between a rabbim, if there's a group of people who are doing an aveira, rachman al-atzlan, or a yachid, that when it comes to a rabbim, if he knows he won't be heard and they won't listen to him, he only has to offer to chacha once. Perhaps, you never know, maybe they will listen with that one time, or so that they shouldn't say at a later point, well, no one told us otherwise. But if it's one lone person doing an Avera, then he needs to give to Chacha many times. Now, what is the, in general, when one does give to Chacha, what is the limit for it? How many times should he give to Chacha? So the lashon of some of the poskim is that he has to be mochiach ad hako eklala, until the wrongdoer is so enraged by the tochacha that he's about to hit or curse the mochiach. And some of the Balei Musar explain that it's not just that a person has to prevent coming to blows and therefore hold back his tochacha once he's reached this point of exacerbation, but rather it's also a reflection on the effectiveness and on the ability of the mochiach, because if he is enraging the wrongdoer, apparently he's not speaking to him, he's not communicating, he's not able to convey the mussar in a way which will go to the heart of the evildoer. And he's not an effective mochiach. Perhaps he is not the one to provide tochacha if the mochiach is reacting so negatively to it. The Mishnah Berurah adds as well that we said, that if something is explicit in the Torah, one has to be mocha, although the wrongdoer will not be receptive to it. That's if the Baal Avera happened to commit the sin just on occasionally. But if someone consistently does Averas, for example, one who's a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesha, who openly and publicly desecrates Shabbos, or eats tray food just despite the Torah, despite the Rabbanu Shalom Kavi Yachal, so he's not an amisecha. The pasuk says, "Ochech tochech is amisecha," your colleague, your friend, someone who you could associate with, but one who has removed himself from that category by blatantly and consistently violating mitzvahs, doing averis b'farhesya, he is for chacha will not be applicable to him. The Mishnah Berurah is unsure about one who just eats treif because he enjoys it, because he's not interested in finding and pursuing kosher food, or one who desecrates Shabbos out of convenience than out of principle. And he does not do it openly, now he doesn't do it before Hesya. So the Mishnah Berurah is mesupik whether a person who does this consistently would still be subject to chacha, should be a target for one's tochacha. Continues the Kitzur in Os Yud Zayin. Also, la'adam levayish is chaveru bein b'dibu bein b'maisa. One may not insult or embarrass his friend, whether it be through speech or through action, but koshkin b'rabim, and certainly not in public. V'omruzal chazal telas hamal b'pnei chaveru b'rabim. One who embarrasses his friend in public literally means he whitens his friend's face, because when one is severely embarrassed, the blood rushes from his face and he turns pale. And so someone who does that to his friend in public, ein lo chelek la'olam haba, will not have a portion in the world to come. Oid omruzal noyach la'adam, it is preferable for a person, la'hapil as atzmo l'kivshan ha'esh, to throw himself into a fiery furnace, val yalbin p'nei chavero barabim, rather than insult his friend in public. Shanema, what is the source for this? Himut says, Tamar was found to be pregnant from what seemed to be an illicit union. She was the daughter-in-law of the king and violated the royalty, and therefore was subject to the death penalty. And as she was taken out to be burnt at stake, b'yishalcha el chami olemer, she sent a message to her father-in-law, Yehuda, saying, Le'ish asher elelo, she sent some of Yehuda's accoutrements, his staff and his signet ring and his garment, and she sent these items to Yehuda with a message, Le'ish asher elelo, to the man to whom these items belong, Anochi Hara, he is the one who impregnated me. She didn't tell him explicitly, it was you, Yehuda, with whom I have lived and conceived from. Ella Beremes, rather she hinted it to him. Im Yodi Yodi, she gave him an opening to concede, to admit to his wrongdoing. Vim Lav Lo Tefarsamo, and had Yehuda not admitted, she would not have divulged that it was that he was the culprit. So you see that Tamar was about to be burnt, and she was willing to allow herself to be burnt at the stake rather than embarrass Yehuda in public. And the Rishonim differ as to whether this is actually a halacha, lemaisa, that one must absolutely allow himself to be killed rather than embarrass someone else in public, and this is the opinion of Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah. Others say that this is b'derech shvach. It's underscoring the import of not embarrassing, but it's not one of the three cardinal sins about which the halacha says yaharig val yaver, that one must give up his life for. But it's so that's a matter of dispute whether it's absolutely binding. Perhaps it's a subcategory of shpichas damim, of murder, which is one of the gimel averes chamur, is one of the three cardinal sins. That's a machlokas in Rishonim. Lafichach, therefore, tzarich ha'adam lizar mod, one has to be extra careful. Shel levayish es chavero barabim bein katan min godol, even if his friend, the other individual, the other Jew, is a katan, a halachic minor. V'lo yikra oso b'shem shehu bo, she should not refer to him with a name which would embarrass him. V'lo yisaper lefanav shtover shehu bosh mimenu, he should not relate in front of his friend anything with others present, anything which he would be embarrassed from others who are hearing it. Vim chata kenegdo, and if the wrongdoer sinned against him, did something to him, v'hutzarech lochicho, and the one who is wronged needs to rebuke him, lo yachlimenu, he should not embarrass him and reprove him in public. Shenemar velotisa olav chet, that the one who's offering tochacha should not accrue a sin on his account. He should not be chote on account of the person to whom he's giving tochacha. But medvarim amurim, when was this all said? Medvarim shavin adam lachaveru, when it comes to matters between man and his fellow. Afa b'divrei shamayim, when it comes to heavenly affairs, when it comes to averus done bin adam lamakom, im lo chazar kshahichichay b'seiser, if he rebuked him privately and the wrongdoer did not repent and not change his ways, machlimin osa barabim, in that case he is to be embarrassed in public. His wrongdoing should be made known. Umefarsabim cheto, his sin is to be publicized. Umecharfim osa b'fanav, and he is to be insulted. He is to be scorned and disgraced. Umevazin umekalon osa, he is to be cursed. Until he repents and improves his ways. As we find that all the Nevi'im chastise Klal Yisrael in public and embarrass them in front of others. This is not in violation of the prohibition of insulting a fellow Jew. Shenemar Lo sonu ishes amisar, because the pasuk that forbids us from insulting, from taunting our fellow, says we should not be ma'ane amiso, our colleague. Upirishur abisenu zal amiso im she itcha b'torah mitzvahs, one who is with you, who is like-minded, who is fulfilling the mitzvahs and is committed to Torah. So such an individual, he's zira Torah al anaso. It is he that we cannot pain. The loyal over alayin, but not in someone who is transgressing the mitzvahs. Full of chazabol achashochichu, and has not repented even after hearing rebuke. B'seisur b'loshen rak, even if he heard tochacha done properly, private and private, and said softly, and still did not repent. Such an individual is not addressed in the pasuk Lasona Isha Samiso. The Chafetz Chaim in the back of his Sefer Avos Chesed brings b'shem in the name of a contemporary or someone, a Rav, who lived a bit earlier than the Chafetz Chaim, who writes that nowadays, since there is no one who is really capable of giving tochacha properly, we have lost the art of efficient tochacha. Therefore, even after one attempts to give tochacha as he should, he cannot say, well, this person is a Rasha, for he has refused to accept my rebuke. Since we are not sure, and most probably we are not doing it right, we don't know how to give tochacha properly, so we cannot surmise that the wrongdoer who refuses to accept our rebuke has lost the status of amiso and is now fair game for public embarrassment. That would not be the case anymore, as we don't know how to give tochacha appropriately. Continues the kitzur. Misha chata chaver kenegdo, if one who was wronged by his fellow v'larotze lochicho, and he did not want to rebuke, to give tochacha, to speak it out, to vent to the perpetrator, v'lo ledar b'lo klum, he didn't want to speak to him, either because he felt he just wasn't going to be receptive, he wouldn't be able to handle it, perhaps he didn't have the intelligence required for that type of conversation, u'machalo b'libo, therefore the victim meritoriously forgave the perpetrator in his heart. V'lo satmo v'lo achicho, he did not hate him, did not harbor any resentment or hatred towards him, v'lo achicho, and did not rebuke him. I raise him in his chasidus. This is a pious trait. Lo hikpida hatera ela alamastema. The Torah only forbids hatred. The Torah doesn't require tochacha. The Torah advises that one should be mochiach as a way of addressing the hatred that would otherwise linger in his heart. But if one is able to remove that hatred and to wholeheartedly forgive the perpetrator without ever conveying to him the feelings and the insult, and if one can do so, that is certainly the ideal approach. Chayav Adam lehizar b'yisoymim v'almanos. One has to be careful in the honor and the well-being of orphans and widows. Shleidaber aleim elarakas. He has to speak to them kindly, mercifully. V'yinagbar minakaver. He has to honor them, respect them, treat them with much sensitivity. V'lo yachivim afilo bidvarim. He shouldn't hurt them even through words. And one who does hurt them has violated lo sase, as we're about to see. Mipnei shenafshon shvala ma'od, because they are downtrodden, they are sad, v'ruchan amucha, and they are very susceptible and sensitive. Afal pishen balei mamon, even if they are people of means, afilo almanoso shel melech v'yesomov, even the widow of a king, the queen, the Yesomov, and the orphans, the children of the princes, the children of the king, Muzharim Anu Alei. We are commanded to act with extra sensitivity even towards a royal widow or orphans. Shenemar Kolam Kol Alman V'yasam Lo Sanon. We should not pain any widow or orphan. Bris Karas Lahem Bisha Omar V'haya Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entered into a covenant with these orphans, shekolzman shehim, the unfortunate, shekolzman shehim tzoakim, at any time that they cry out, they plead to Hashem, machmas achama shenasalem, because of the way they were mistreated, heim nanim, they will be answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to them and listen to their cries. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us explicitly, kim tzoak yitzak elai, for if he, the orphan, will cry out to me, Shamaya Eshmat Sakasa, I will listen and accept his scream, his cry. So it's guaranteed that if they, Chas V'Shalom, turn to the Rabbanu Shalom and after having been wronged, the Rabbanu Shalom will act accordingly. Bamedvar Mamurim, when was this said? She'ina Oysom Letzarech Atzmai, if a person caused them pain for his own benefit, and pursuing his own agenda. Aval ina osam hara, but if a, for example, a Rebbe, a teacher of Torah, chastises an orphan, k'day l'lamdan Torah yumnus. He prods the orphan, perhaps in a stern way, to learn Torah or to learn a trade, or just to make sure they are doing what the right thing. That is permitted. Even when he is entitled to treat them a little more severely, nevertheless, yashkiach lenahalim benachas uberachamim dolim, he should try to guide them and direct them softly and with great compassion. Shenemar ki Hashem yarev rivam, for Hashem will fight their battle. Echad yoso me'av, echad yoso me'em, whether one had lost his father or his mother, Rahman al-Islam, that emasayne krayim yisayim le'inyan zeh, until what point, at what stage in their lives are they still considered orphans? At sheyu yecholim lasis kol tzorkeihem ba'atzmam kishar kol agdolim, until such time as they can tend to their own needs and can be self-sufficient, like other gedolim, other functional adults. Until that point, even though technically, halachically, they are over bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, they are gedolim in that sense, but in terms of being helpless and hapless, they would still be considered yisomim until they are self-sufficient. Tzarech ha'adam lizar, one has to be careful. Shlo lasos eizeh dover she'echolim lachshed oisei she'osed varavera. He should not perform any act which would lead to accusations, to a wrong perception, people thinking that he did an avera. Even though he is not committing a sin, as we find in the Mishnah in Shkolim, a kohen would come into the Beis Hamikdash where they had collected the money of the machtes hashekel, the money donated by the Jewish people to buy sacrifices with, and at different intervals during the year, a kohen would enter the chamber where the money was stored and would take the necessary money out with which to buy the supplies for the Beis HaMikdash. So the kohen entering that chamber, he would not enter wearing any garment which was made in a way that money could be hidden in it. So, for example, his robe did not have cuffs, did not have a double lining or at the hem, where one could accuse the kohen of hiding coins. One has to look proper and has to seem clean in the eyes of others, just like he has to fulfill his obligations towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'yisim nekiyim, you shall be clean beyond suspicion, may Hashem, both from Hashem umi Yisrael. The Omer umetzachein, one should find favor v'seichel tov, and should be thought of properly, me'inei lokim v'adam, in the eyes of both God and man. Another example of where the halacha takes into account suspicion is that if one has two doorways to his home, he is to light ner Chanukah, the Chanukah lights, on both openings, lest there be passersby walking by one side of the house and not seeing a ner Chanukah and suspecting that this particular person did not light, not knowing that he had lit on the other side, on the other doorway, and had therefore fulfilled his obligation. Nevertheless, to accommodate the suspicious individuals, one would have to light on both parts, on both doorways of the home. Another one of several examples of doing things to avoid suspicion. Midas Chasidus, it is a pious mode, it is a meritorious, shaloi lekabel matono, not to accept gifts, ela liftoach ba'Hashem, rather to have trust in the Rabbono shel Olam, shekiten lo demachsor, that he would provide what is needed, and he will give sufficient sustenance. Shenemar v'soyne matone sichye, one who despises gifts shall live. one who truly lives is one who is a giver, not one who is a taker. It has been noted geographically that the Sea of Galil, the Kinneret, flows into the Jordan, which flows into the Dead Sea. The waters of the Kinneret are sweet, but the waters of the Dead Sea are salty. And the sea is called the Dead Sea. Why? Because the Jordan flows into the Dead Sea, while the Dead Sea gives nothing from itself. Nothing comes out of it. It is the ultimate taker, as opposed to the Kinneret, which gives so much, and therefore its waters are sweet. One who gives is truly alive.